You're listening to David Kaplan. Weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We don't get fooled again.
10 o'clock in Chicago with Danny Zetterman and Chris Black. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. I'll tweet out this article if you want to read it on Phil Mickelson and his six-day fast. Danny, how much do you think he lost in the 6 days?
35 pounds.
No, he lost 15 pounds in 6 days, and now he is just a two meal a day, which is what I am, and has taken another 15 off, so he's 30 lighter. Lefty. I love Lefty. I'm a big fan. Got to hang out with him at a Cubs game, and it was really cool. He's a really nice dude. Anyway, Rob Ninkovich joins us now to talk some football. We'll get into the Bears in a little bit, but we want to get his previews of this weekend. Rob, good morning. How are you, buddy?
What's up, guys? Talk about fasting, huh? That's impressive. I just did a three-day juice cleanse. It was awesome. No food for 3 days.
So
it was intense.
What kind of juice?
Like kale. Kale, it's just like all greens. So no sugar, no artificial sugars, anything. And it's six drinks throughout the whole day, and you do it for 3 days. I actually felt pretty decent on it.
Was it hard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was very hard. I wanted like a Giordano's pizza deep dish after that whole thing. But I didn't do it. I went through it 3 days. Felt you know, hungry. I wanted to eat. But afterwards, I felt like I was pretty energetic, felt decent, and I lost 8 pounds.
How about that? Yeah, we'll have to get you Malnati's. It's better.
Malnati's? Okay, yeah. Well, good. I'll do that, too. I like any Chicago pizza now. Come on.
There you go.
Joliet kid.
That's it. So let's talk about this weekend. We'll start in the NFC. San Francisco eviscerated Green Bay earlier in the year. And if I said to you, they've got Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the best of all time. They got Devontae Adams, who's a great receiver. They got a great run game with Aaron Jones. And their defense has stepped up and been better this year and pressures the quarterback. And they're a 7.5-point underdog. Can you believe that?
I can believe the 7.5 points, yeah. I mean, that the game that they had played during the season, you got to kind of throw that one out because in the playoffs, everything is different. It's a different animal, different pressures. I mean, we've seen it this year with teams losing that shouldn't have lost, that weren't the underdogs. You look at the Ravens. Were they supposed to lose that football game? No. But look, it's the playoffs, and it's a completely different animal. Guys seem to be a little bit tighter, a little more nerves. Every ball that they would catch, 10 out of 10, they're dropping it. So, you have to look at this game in a different view, so to speak, because of the fact that it is the playoffs. But when I look at the 49ers and what they have weapons-wise, offensively, they're freaking tough. And then you look at their defense, they're even tougher with that front. So, it's going to be a tall task for the 49ers, going into that game. What do you have to do? Number one, you got to get after Aaron Rodgers. You got to make it uncomfortable for him, because when that guy's got time, he'll hurt you no matter what, because he's so accurate and he's so smart. And then Adams, you got to stop Adams. So I think the 49ers have, they have all the pieces to the puzzle, but they just need to put it together. And it's tough. It's not easy. Playoffs, it's always going to be tough for him. But I just think that the 49ers, they're a better team overall. It's going to be tough for Green Bay to travel across the country and beat up on the 49ers. It's going to be tough.
So as you look at these four teams that are left, I feel like it's Kansas City's to win. They have a generational talent at quarterback. They got a coach who is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, hasn't won it. It just might be his time. And they really look at you and go, okay, I can't run the ball that well. I don't care. I'm 24 down. I don't care. And they got Kelce, and they got Tyreek Hill, and Mecole Hardman. I mean, they're loaded. Are they the number one of the four teams left?
Yeah, I think that when you look at the roster and how they're built, they're definitely the number one of the four left. But they're close with the 49ers. It's going to be, they're neck and neck right there. If you look at the 49ers, their ability to run the football is impressive. They got a pretty decent tight end as well in Kittle, probably one of the best. I'd give Kittle the nod over Kelce because of the fact that he's got, you know, youth working for him, even though he's banged up a little bit with the ankle. But as far as quarterback play, it's hard to bet against Rodgers, but, I mean, Pat Mahomes is pretty special. His ability to run, throw on the run, throw from the pocket, sidearm throws, managing the game. And, you know, Tyreek Hill, that's probably the only guy in this whole tournament where he can catch the ball, stop, you know, check a text message and still get the edge on you because he's so fast. That guy's a freak. So I definitely think that Kansas City has definitely the best roster with weapons, but that necessarily doesn't correlate to winning at all and being a Super Bowl champion. That's all three phases, having to succeed in all three phases. And when you look at that team, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they've had a field goal block, they've had a punt block, you know, they muff a punt. So those are things that will get you beat in the playoffs. They got to be better on special teams if they want to win this whole thing. But I'm taking Kansas City 49ers for the Super Bowl matchup. That's what I think it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have the same exact one. Has there been a team that stunned you that they're either still alive or that they got knocked out? Are you shocked by your Patriots? Are you shocked by the Ravens? What's the most stunning thing of the playoffs to you?
I'd have to say the Saints. I was shocked that the Saints weren't able to put together a game that, you know, all season long they were really strong, especially at home. You know, they just were very, very tough to beat, and they just weren't able to get it done. So that was my team on the NFC side. I think that I thought that they were going to be the ones in the Super Bowl, going back to Miami 10 years later after the fact that they had won a Super Bowl. But at the end of the day, this league is all about performing on that particular day. They weren't able to do it. So I was shocked that, you know, the Patriots, they were struggling, you know, basically all year offensively trying to figure out what they were and what their identity was. Defensively, they were good against teams that were poor, and they didn't really necessarily perform against the good teams. So it wasn't a shock to see the Titans come in and run the football. I'm impressed with Tennessee and how they've been able to win football games on the ground. It's tough to win football games with your quarterback throwing under 100 yards in the playoffs. So, number one, if you're playing the Titans, everyone knows it. You got to stop the run. If you play from ahead and make Tennessee throw the football, that's where you want to be with those guys.
Can Tennessee, if they run the football effectively, keep Patrick Mahomes off the field? Derrick Henry just is ridiculously impressive. Is there a formula if you were coaching that team where you went, okay, guys, here's what we have to do, or do they have to score? As Bill O'Brien said, I knew we had to get 50.
I mean, you definitely, the winning formula is keeping the ball out of Mahomes' hands, definitely. But you have to, number one, score first and play on your terms. If the Kansas City Chiefs score, then you know, okay, we got to go score. So if you don't and they score again and you're down 10 to 14 points, then you can't stick to the same game plan. You can't get back into it without throwing the football. So if they get behind early and they're not able to run the football effectively the way that they want to, you know, with time of possession and keeping the football most of the game, that's going to be the biggest impact on this game. Can Kansas City, not like last week where they're kind of sluggish and they're down early in the game, they got to come out fast. They got to score early and not have the rust on them. I think that first game last week after their bye, it looked like they had a lot of rust on them. So they got to come out, score early. Then Tennessee's under the pressure of, hey, can we keep running the football every down or do we got to start throwing it more? So that's the formula. Make sure that you score first, score often, and make Tennessee have to throw the football.
What is it like getting ready for this game? Because once you get to the Super Bowl, you're like, wow, we made it. We're here. But you can taste the Super Bowl. If you're not a New England Patriot, you probably haven't played in the Super Bowl. You have multiple times. So what is this week of prep like, and what are the nerves like?
You know, the better prepared and the more time and effort you put into that this week here, the more free and fast you're going to play come game day, because once you run through everything mentally, you understand what you have to do to win the game, now it's just going out there and just flying around and making plays and having fun. I think it's the teams that they start to question maybe the game plan or question themselves. Am I ready? Did I do enough this week? That they might get a little tight. Then you start thinking about the moment. Because, look, you start April 15th. That's the off season. That's when off season workouts start. And you go all the way up until now, and you know, look, if I don't win this game, it's going to be a long offseason, a long season to get back to the playoffs. So nerves can definitely play a factor in this. We saw it last week. I think nerves were kind of messing up Kansas City early in the game. I think nerves affected the Ravens. So it can all affect you. The pressure of it, and the best teams are able to take that energy and put it on the field and perform with it as opposed to negatively affect them.
We're talking to Rob Ninkovich. He's won multiple Super Bowls. He's a Chicago guy. He played for the New England Patriots. So as you look at a team like San Francisco, they've shown they can run the football effectively. They can defend the football. I'm not as big a Jimmy G guy as others. Good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I just don't think he's, you know, this elite superstar quarterback. How would you give me your scouting report on him?
Well, look, in the quarterback position, you need somebody that, number one, doesn't turn the football over and can manage the game effectively. And I think Jimmy has grown. He's going to continue to improve. Last year, having the ACL injury, it's not easy coming back from that. And early in the season, I think you saw some growing pains of confidence and trying to come back from that. But I think he's going to be – the sky's the limit for him as far as how good he can be. I think he is a great teammate. He's a great professional. He understands how to prepare. He worked under Tom for a few years, so he understands, you know, how Tom prepared, how Tom approached things. So he learned from the best, and I think he's just going to continue to improve. He's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. There are a few throws that you see, and you're like, dang, why did he throw that one? And he knows it. He wishes he had those back, too. You look at the interception last week. Right when he threw it, he felt like, man, I wish I had that one back. So if you can minimize those and he can correct some of those throws where he's not throwing it in the coverage and potentially putting his team in a situation that could hurt them. Because every turnover you make in the playoffs could potentially be the outcome of the game. I think he's going to continue to grow and be a really good quarterback. He's done exactly what they wanted. Since they brought him in and got him from New England, he's come in and he's won. He's won football games. So at the end of the day, that's all you want. You want a quarterback that puts you in more winning positions than losing positions. And I think that he's a 100% done that for the 49ers.
All right, so I got to ask you, because you told me a story when you were on, I don't know, a month or so ago, that after you won, I think you said the Super Bowl over Atlanta, but it might have been previous to that, you showed up to get something at the facility, and it's like 2 days later, and there's Tom Brady working out, and you're like, what are you doing? He said, I'm on to next year. I want to win the next one. Like, take us through. Most people, you hit the mountaintop to the level he has. You got a wife who makes more money than you, so you don't need the money. I mean, he's a billionaire, basically, between the two of them. What drives him?
There's a lot of things that drive him. Competitor. He's an ultimate competitor. It's his own personal love of the game that drives him. I think if you tried to put it in these perspective, you try to make it twist it in your head and think to yourself, if I was just a normal guy, if I was like my father, an iron worker, and my wife made more than I did, would I go into work and say, hey, I'll take less because my wife makes more? That doesn't, never. That whole, like, his, never. His wife making more money than him doesn't, that does not matter as far as, you know, contracts and all that stuff. When people say, oh, well, he takes less because his wife makes more. No. Like, that, when you're a football player, you want to be compensated fairly for what you put on the football field and your performances. The whole wife, you know, making more, you got to remove that whole thing from the thinking here. And he's a football player. He's been playing it at a high level his whole life. He loves the game. So as a competitor, as a person who wants to be the best and wants to continue to be the best, you have to put in the work. If you don't put in the work, other things start to creep in, and you can't let success and money change the way that you prepare and look at the game. Because the second you start to think, oh, I have this much amount of money in the bank, or I've done this and that on the field, and I have this many Super Bowls, something's going to go wrong out there on the field. You're going to start throwing picks, or you're going to start looking bad, or you're going to get injured, or you're going to not be prepared as you usually are. And like I said earlier in the conversation, the best prepared football player is the most freed, flying around, making plays, confidence in your decisions, confidence in your throws, confidence in your cutting if you're a running back, confidence in your route running if you're a receiver, confidence tackling if you're a linebacker. It all comes down to how well you've prepared, put yourself in the position, played the game mentally, so to speak, before you actually play the game. That's how you can continue to be the best, and that's why Tom has been so good for so long, because he doesn't care about the previous years. He always is in the hunt to be the best that he can be, because it's almost like a sickness. It's like a drug. Like, look, I want to be the best I can be. I know I can do it. If I put the time in, I get the results, and then you see it.
So he is all about he loves to compete. He loves the game and all of that, and pay me what I'm worth. I get it. But he's much more, the drug is the process of preparing my body, my mind, my game plan to compete next season is just as important as what I just finished.
Or, you know, also another thing could be listening to someone or some so-called expert like Rob Ninkovich talking about how someone's performance is declining and going out there and proving people wrong. That's a motivator. And look, when someone would say, oh, Rob Ninkovich can't go to the bathroom without tearing an ACL, like, that's a little bit of a hit that you look at it and you get a little mad about it. You go work out harder. You go out there and you play a long time and you try and prove people wrong and shut people up. That's fun. Being the underdog and people taking the other team, and you come out there and you win and prove people wrong, that's fun. So I think that's just the competitive nature in any athlete. When your back's against the wall, when you're into a corner, there's only one way to come out, and that's swinging.
All right, last thing for you, Mike Vrabel, your relationship with Mike as he gets ready for this huge, huge game.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. I honestly have only met Mike once, and that was this year before the Patriots-Titans preseason game. I didn't cross paths with him at all. He was traded to Kansas City when I came in the offseason. He was traded. I came in after the fact. I know we look similar because we're two white guys that played with number 50.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of the similarity there.
That's it.
So, you know, when I came in to the Patriots and I go to my locker and they made the team, they put 50 there, I'm like, okay, great. I got some huge shoes to fill here. But I tried to make the best of it. And I tried to carry on the tradition of good football with that number. So when you have a guy that is before you that has played a long time and won Super Bowls and has been a great player for the organization, and you're the next guy that has to come and carry on that tradition, it was an honor for me to play in that number and do the best that I could in it. I hope that I did the best and made people happy that I carried that on. Now they got another guy in there with a Vich last name. Hopefully he can get the job done for a while in Winovich. So, you know, it was an honor to play for the Patriots for as long as I had and win Super Bowls and do all that stuff. And, you know, it was fun to be pushed by the history of Vrabel with the Patriots. It pushed me to be a better player, pushed me to be the best that I could be, because I didn't want to let everybody else say, oh, this 50 sucks, you know. So I tried to go out there and play tough and play for a long time. But I don't know Vrabel. I mean, I hear great things about him. I know he's tough. I know he's a great coach. I know he was a great football player. I know he's very smart. I know, you know, he could potentially be a smart ass and call people out, which is, you know, that's cool. That's what you have to be as a head coach. You got to call people out. You got to be smart. You got to understand situations. Similar to them playing the Patriots and making them freak out on the sideline because they took the penalty on punt team and took 2 minutes off the clock. That's just smart football. That's Vrabel. That's him being a good coach, and he's learned from the best. So think that he'll be a great coach and continue to be a coach for a long time.
Hey, appreciate you taking time for us. By the way, please tell Tom Brady that the Chicago Bears would love to have him as our quarterback here if he wants the ultimate challenge.
Say, hey, Tommy boy, the Bears want you to come there and play some football for him. They got a lot of beers for you.
They got whatever he needs. We got deep dish, whatever he wants.
And sausage. You got bowl of sausage. You got everything.
We got it all. Do you think he wears a Patriots jersey next year, or is he somewhere else?
Look, I think it's going to come down to the Patriots coming to Tom and Tom, looking at the offer and then it being a fair offer. They can't lowball him. They can't give him half of what he's worth. That's not going to work. So it's all going to come down to what he's offered. If it's not something that is fair, then he's going to probably take his services elsewhere.
Hey, man, thanks for the time. Have a enjoyable weekend watching football. We'll talk to you again.
All right, guys. See ya.
See ya. Rob Ninkovich, Chicago guy. How about that? He met Mike Vrabel one time. I find that curious. Just not even like in a summer golf event. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot? And then I don't have any idea what this is about. Danny said you're going to take a quiz at 10:40. I said, about what? Not telling you. I go, is it sports? Not telling you. Because you'd study.
You cheat, Cap. Let's be honest.
How would I cheat?
You've got a lot of AJ Hinch, Alex Cora in you.
Yeah,
cheat
that's
to
true.
Win.
It's true.
You know
it's confirmed. You've used technology.
You've cheated before.
Here at the station to cheat during a game.
If I said, for instance, hey, I'm going to get you ready for the baseball season. It's going to be a baseball quiz. You would have done some homework. If I said it's about the Oscars, you would have done some homework. So why would I tell you if I want to catch you at not knowing the stuff?
You can't watch all those movies before 10:40, Cap. Take that.
Take time out. We'll come right back. It's ESPN.
That's why I say, hey man, I shot.
No shot. With David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say, hey man, I shot.
Hey, shot, no shot. Brought to you by the wonderful people at Lou Malnati's. 62 locations and counting. Go to LouMalnati's.com to order online or find a location near you. And shout out to their new location in Fox Point, Wisconsin. We're owned by Good Karma Brands, a Wisconsin-based company. And right up there, Fox Point, now they can get Lou Malnati's, the best pizza in the world. Go to LouMalnati's.com and order online or find a location near you. And Northwestern football and basketball. They are Chicago's Big Ten team season. And single game tickets are always available at NUSports.com. Go Cats! Danny!
And if you like Lou Malnati's, in the next 30 minutes, you're going to have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's as we play the Cappy Quiz. Mm-hmm. Don't call now. In the next 15 or 20 minutes, we'll ask for a caller, a specific number. If you call and Cap does well, you could win $25 to Lou Malnati's. If Cap doesn't do well, I'm sorry. He blew it for you.
Cap, you trying to stream those movies during the commercial break there? They're trying to catch up on all the Oscar-nominated movies?
Let me just put it to you this way. If it's on the Oscars, I got no chance because I haven't seen any of the nominated movies.
Listen, I'm not going to give you a hint on what it is, but it's pretty easy. Like, I feel like I could go upstairs to the 7th floor where the ESPN office is, pluck almost anybody either on programming side or the sales side, put them in this studio, and they do well. It's just a question if you will. Somebody's Lou Malnati's dining experience rests on your shoulder. No pressure. But let's get to shot or no shot. The Bears have four former quarterback coaches now in their coach's room.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Lazor was a quarterback's coach with the Bengals, the Eagles, the Seahawks, and Washington. John DeFilippo is now a quarterback's coach with the Bears. He was with the Eagles, the Raiders, and the Jets. And Dave Ragone was a quarterback's coach with the Bears and the Titans. So I ask you, gentlemen, not to mention Matt Nagy, who was a quarterback's coach with the Chiefs. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot? There are too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, no shot. I think you caught a break that if DeFilippo is really this quarterback whisperer, His stock has dipped. So you're buying at the low end and hoping that it rockets back up. So, yeah, I have no issues. Look, for me to go, I know Bill Lazor, I don't know anything about Bill Lazor. So if Bill, I know where he was. I've read about him. If Bill Lazor is that good, God bless us. I'll trust that the guys up there know better than I know of who they're hiring.
All right, Dr. Evil, do you keep saying Bill Lazor's name like that because you can't find the soundbite of Dr. Evil saying Lazor on your screen, which is on your screen?
No, it's right there.
Okay, all right, all right. I just felt like you were saying it to then hope that it was going to be played afterwards.
Damn you, Bleck, for reminding him about that.
A Lazor.
Go ahead.
A Lazor.
Cap, stop hitting
it. That's not me, that's you.
A Lazor.
Danny, to answer your question, I would say no shot. Because I feel like too many voices in the room, too many voices in Mitch's head, that would be true if he's the only quarterback. I think the Bears are going to do something this offseason where they address the position and either upgrade based on getting a guy who automatically walks in day one, the starter, or having someone in the room who can compete with Trubisky in a honest quarterback competition, because the Bears know deep down inside, no matter what they do with the coaching staff, this still comes down to a quarterback being able to run the system that the head coach wants to run to be successful and to put points on the board, which it seems as if this quarterback to this point cannot do that. So I think it's a no shot, because I don't know if the voices are going to be just being shouted at Trubisky, and I don't think it's going to be too much in the room. Because I think the quarterback, the different person, may be able to handle all this coaching. So no shot.
There you go.
It's almost as if Chris looked over my shoulder and knew what was coming next.
Oh, really?
A Lazor.
Bill Lazor.
A Lazor.
The new offensive coordinator was Nick Foles' quarterback's coach during his historic record-setting 2013 season. Foles, in that 1 year with Lazor, led the NFL in touchdown percentage, yards per attempt, and passer rating with a 119.2 mark that remains the third highest in NFL history. New quarterback coach John DeFilippo, also a history with Nick Foles. DeFilippo was in charge of the quarterback room that led Foles to the Super Bowl run in Philadelphia, and his hiring as offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars was one of the keys in landing Nick Foles in free agency. Then, of course, we have Matt Nagy. Foles was drafted in 2012 when Matt Nagy was an offensive quality control coach with the Eagles. On top of that, in 2015, Foles spent a year in Kansas City with Andy Reid and, of course, Caps guy Matt Nagy, who was the quarterback coach at the time. Nick Foles signed a four-year, $88 million deal in Jacksonville. However, due to a $25 million signing bonus, the Jags have paid a decent chunk of that guaranteed money off. The contract is very movable and will not hurt the Bears' salary cap past 2021. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot? All these signs point to a Bears trade for Nick Foles.
Wow. I'm going to say
that,
shot.
By the way, let's pause. By the way, that is the greatest shot or no shot question ever.
A Lazor.
Yeah, I am going to have to say shot.
Mitch, how you feeling?
It's good. I could not be here. That'd be easy for me.
I'm going to go shot. That's amazing. Tying all those spaghetti strings together and getting it to hold. That, Danny, I got to give you that. That's a really impactful shot, no shot.
And I knew you were going to say no shot because of the money, so I had to put the contract part in there, Cap, because he's affordable.
Cap always wants to wiggle out of it.
And read the contract part again.
So he signed a four-year, $88 million deal. They gave him a $25 million signing bonus, and they've paid off a decent chunk of the guaranteed money that Foles is due. So because of that, it wouldn't hurt the Bears past 2021. Be a two-year commitment to Nick Foles.
Yeah, but how much of it would it eat into their cap this year?
I can look that up. It wouldn't be super significant.
I think it's $18 million. I think I did this research before. I think they would have to have $18 million to get him here.
I don't think you're right, but let me look while Chris answers the question. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm going to say it's a shot, but not because of all the angles you pointed to, Danny. Like, I like that you're stringing all this together, but I think it's a shot based on there are so many quarterback dominoes that could fall this offseason. I think this is going to be an offseason in the NFL that we've never really seen before. There are so many moving parts, so many teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks and trying to make moves, trying to improve. And a team like Jacksonville, who has, it seems, a rookie that they can take into the future with, that makes Nick Foles someone who's available, to be honest. And I think there's going to be a lot of movement. So I think it's a shot. I think he could be in play.
His base salary is $15.125. He's getting a roster bonus of $500,000, a workout bonus. It's all doable, Cap.
It's possible.
Very possible. Let's move on, but stick with the Bears. The great Waddle and Sylvie show, which I love every day, 2 to 6 right here on this very radio station, was debating yesterday Devin Hester or Peanut Tillman, the next Bear to go to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I think the answer is obvious, Devin Hester. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Devin Hester will be the next Chicago Bears player inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot, because how do you put Devin Hester in ahead of Olin Krutz, Lance Briggs?
I mean, here's how. Is Lance Briggs the best ever
Jay
to play?
Jay Hilgenberg.
Is Lance Briggs, Jay Hilgenberg, Olin Krutz the best ever at their specific position? Because Devin Hester is. Best ever. He's the Michael Jordan of kick returners, and you can't argue with it. Olin Krutz was a great center. Is he the best ever?
I don't know. No, he's probably not the best ever.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I heard John Yurkovich break down the...
Well, John Yurkovich would never put Hester in the Hall of Fame.
John. But I heard John break down the percentage of plays versus being one of the main phases of the game. And I heard Tommy push back and say, Tommy as in Waddle, say that there's three phases to the sport. John said, yeah, except he's on the field for like 12%, whereas Lance Briggs was a superstar, six-time Pro Bowler. Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. He's the next one to go in. He may get in someday, but it's tough because it takes time to get people to get past the fact that he's only a special teamer because he was a lousy wide receiver.
It's a no shot, Danny. He is not the next Chicago Bear to get in, because I think what Cap is laying out and what Yurko has laid out for us is that it's hard to debate that he's actually a Hall of Famer. He's the best who has ever returned kicks. I agree with that, but I don't know if that makes a spot in the Hall of Fame for me. And he might be someone that gets one of these legacy votes years down the road, where we turn back and we say, oh, well, 25, 30 years out, you know, no one ever came close to what Devin Hester did, so he deserves a spot because he was so special in that time. But I think in the current day, I don't see him getting in. That's tough.
All right, last one, guys.
I would vote Tillman over Hester, by the way.
I'd vote Tillman, Briggs, and Krutz all over him.
I'm going Hester, best at his position. All right, last one, fellas. 3 years ago, this very day, the World Series champion Chicago Cubs visited Barack Obama in the White House. Shot or no shot, 3 years from this very day, a Chicago team will be back in the White House within 3 years from today.
Within 3 years
from
today.
Any Chicago team will visit the White House.
3 years. I'm going to say shot, and it's going to be one of two teams. It will either be the Chicago Bears or the Chicago White Sox. So I'm going to go shot. Absolutely.
What do you got there, Cap? You're riding a motorcycle. Can I get in your sidecar there and join you for this? I think it's a shot, and I would put the two teams that have the shot in the next 3 years, it would be the Bears and the White Sox.
There you go.
The Bears figure out the quarterback position, and boom, immediately they're in the conversation. And then if all the prospects, the whole bag of prospects that Rick Hahn has assembled, they click in the next 2 to 3 years, boom, you could see them in the World Series. I agree.
There you go.
A lot of ifs there. A lot of prospects that have to actually produce on the big league level, but I would say shot.
Take that, Danny.
How's that a take that?
Because we are riding sidecar with
Chris,
Cap.
Did I say no?
Yeah, Cap's got the little goggles on. He's got a little scarf around him,
and
we are riding.
And I got that leather hat.
Yeah, he's got a leather hat on, and we are riding. I'm
like the leather skull cap.
Sitting next to him, crouched in the little sidecar, and we're going.
Take that, Danny.
Whatever. All right. Listen, we need caller 12 right now. 312-332-3776. If Cappy is any good at the quiz he's about to take, you are going to win $25 to Lou Malnati's And if you're keto, they got an option for you. 312-332-3776.
All right, quick timeout. We'll come back and I will soil myself on Major Market Radio taking a quiz. We'll be right back.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 1000. So I have nothing on the computer. Danny, I'm plugging the phone in to get charged. Phone is away, and I am clear.
Can you hand over your tech necklace you got there?
Don't open it.
That vibrates the right and wrong answers. Can you hand over your tech necklace?
Cap, that is part of the game. Welcome in to Quiz Cappy. You are a worldly gentleman. You know a lot about a lot. When it comes to music, I would say you know a little about nothing.
That's true.
But in addition to yesterday them announcing the pro football... Well, we're not going to go country. In addition to yesterday them announcing the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees into the Hall of Fame, yesterday the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their inductees for 2020. We didn't get to spend much time on it, but we do love music on this show. We do love music at this station. And this year's inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are Nine Inch Nails, the Notorious B.I.G., Depeche Mode, T-Rex, Whitney Houston, and the Doobie Brothers. In your hand, you have that list. I've handed you the list of the inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This game is...
Can I now open this?
Yes, you can open it. That's the list that I just read. There are six inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do you like any of those bands?
I do. I like the Doobie Brothers.
All right. Well, that's good. I mean, come on. They're Hall of Fame bands. You should know their music. There are six of them. I've set the over-under at 2.5. What we are going to do is we're going to play a song from one of these six bands, and all you have to do is tell me which artist it is.
Okay.
If you get three or more correct, our friend Donald in Sauganash is going to win $25 to Lou Malnati's. If you get less than three right, you stink at music, and poor Donald goes home hungry.
I can't believe you gave him the answers.
I didn't give them the order.
No, I know.
Listen, if we just played a Nine Inch Nails song, there's no shot he would know who it is.
You're correct.
If we played a T-Rex song, there's no shot. This is real easy. My son is in kindergarten. He's learning how to read. All the time he brings home like a box that's got a yellow box. And on the other side, there's the words, you know, the words of the colors. And he's just got to match the Y-E-L-L-O to the color yellow. The
R-E-D. Y-E-L-O-W, just so you know.
Oh, I misspell it?
You spell yellow.
The point is, all you have to do is match the song to the artist.
Okay.
All right, Cappy?
Let's do it.
You ready to begin?
Yep.
Let's go, Chris.
That's Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Boom, you got it right. All right, one
good
for
job.
One, Cappy.
Thank you.
Good job. So, Donald, you only need two more for you to eat some Lou Malnati's pizza. Here we go, number two.
Brothers.
Wow.
Look at Cap go.
You're going to get this next one. This is the easiest one on the list. Go ahead, Chris.
I decided long ago.
That would be Whitney Houston.
Boom.
Why did it take you so
long? Donald is going to go to Lou Malnati's. Let's finish it out. I mean, it's pretty easy now. Next.
That's the Nine Inch Nails.
Wow, Cappy. Did you know that or was it deductive reasoning?
I knew that.
All right, now if you go 6 for 6, I'm going to be really impressed with you.
Okay.
Next up, Chris.
That's T-Rex.
Wait, really?
Sorry. That one I didn't.
Honestly?
Wait, hold on. Really?
Okay, that's the Notorious B.I.G.
And that's obvious. You only had two options left.
Hey, can we also point out to the listening audience that Cap had to look down and read off on the sheet the Notorious B.I.G. It didn't just come off the tongue there. He had to look down. Danny, he looked down. He looked at the sheet, and he had to say who this was. Okay. All right.
Let's hear the last one.
There's that.
Your duty's sweetin' your mind.
Hold on a second. That's T-Rex.
Yeah.
I love this song.
You did really well, Cap. You did do really well.
Thank you.
Got 4 out of 6.
Thank you.
Wow. Good for you. Donald's going to Lou Malnati's.
Hey, Donald. Donald, hold on a second. See, Donald, I didn't let you down.
No, you did not, but I'm still laughing about the Notorious B.I.G. one.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Notorious B.I.G. I'm sorry. My kids are.
Awesome job. Thanks for winning that for me.
All right, you got it. Enjoy your pizza. Have a good time.
Hold on. Really, when I thought this that we were going to do this game, I thought you were going to do far worse.
But hold on a second. The song by T-Rex?
That's T-Rex.
Who else has done that song? Someone else has also done that same song. That's a great song.
I don't think anybody else has done that song.
Cat, to be fair, T-Rex, they look a lot like you looked back in college.
Long hair?
Yeah. I've never heard of T-Rex or that song.
You've never heard that song, Chris, for real?
No, you guys are old. It's something that you guys get all bent out of shape about, but, like, listen, T-Rex, who's...
I'm not a T-Rex fan. I'm not saying, okay, hey, you got to listen to T-Rex's latest album, but I feel like at some point in your life, you're a 34-year-old man, you'd have to have come across that song.
Nope, and I come across a lot of things, never come across this. Sleepy.
Yeah, I can't believe...
This was hot for you, Cap?
I love this song.
Yeah.
Woo. How about the Doobie Brothers song?
Everyone's heard that. Come on. Listen, I'm not Cap here. Whatever this is.
That is a great song.
That's weird. Come on now.
Why is that weird?
It's weird.
Chris loves this one.
No, I just think it's funny that Cap had to look down and read The Notorious.
I was just making sure I had.
Yeah, you were making sure. I took
my time. I want to make sure I didn't screw up.
You know that T-Rex song reached number 10, Chris, on the Billboard charts?
Yeah, in what, 1974?
I think 71.
Okay. Congrats. Do you guys go around rating the number 10 song on the Billboard charts from every year?
You could play me the top 10 songs tomorrow from this year's Billboard charts and give me the names, and I promise you I get them all wrong.
What year did you say that Get It On by T-Rex is from?
71.
Yeah, 1993.
No, it's not 93.
What are you talking about? What?
I'm looking at All Music. T-Rex, Get It On, released 1993.
It was released 1985. 1985. I'm looking at it right here.
Okay.
The group was put together in 71. But that song came out in 85. So Chris was 1 year old.
Wow.
Good work. Hey, good work.
Congrats, Cap.
Pat on the back to you.
Good job.
And Danny, I do have to correct both of us. The song Get It On by the British glam rock group T-Rex was featured first in their 1971 album, Electric Warrior.
But I said 71, and then you corrected me.
Because one of the sites I went to said 1993. That was when it was re-released. Yeah. There you go. Get It On, 1971. Can you tell me two other T-Rex songs?
No.
Of course I can.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I can't.
The song from Jurassic Park, and what else do you have there?
Hot Love and Jeepster.
Hot. Yeah,
also
that's
on
great.
The same album. Here you go, Cap.
Since I'm younger than both of you guys, the number 10 song on the Billboard charts right now, do you guys have any clue
but you
the name of who this is?
Yeah. No clue whatsoever. Ariana Grande.
I'm going to say Demi Lovato. She's singing the national anthem, by the way. They just announced it's Super Bowl.
Cool. It's Selena Gomez.
Yeah, that was my next guess.
Who did Selena Gomez date for a long time,
Danny? I don't know. I don't get Teen Tiger Beat or whatever it's called.
That would be Justin Bieber.
Didn't that happen years ago? Like a long time ago?
That's what I said. Who did she date for a while?
Who's Justin Bieber marrying now?
Oh, I do know this.
They're already married.
Who's he married to? I was testing Chris to make sure he knew.
Haley Baldwin.
Damn!
What do you want?
Good.
What do you want? Cap didn't know that.
I did know that.
No, you did not know that.
You had no idea.
Haley Baldwin, you're a big fan?
And Haley Baldwin is a very attractive young model, daughter of Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And his wife.
Uh-huh.
Not his current wife. What's the name of Alec Baldwin's current wife? Hilaria. Take that.
Who was the Notorious B.I.G.'s producer? Also went on to have a stellar career.
It's not on the paper, so Cap doesn't know.
Come on, Tupac Shakur. You've got to know this one.
All right, go to break. That was terrible, Cap.
Tupac Shakur?
You know anything about 90s rap?
No.
Clearly not, since you think that Tupac was the one producing for Biggie.
I have no idea.
You know anything about East Coast, West Coast? No? None?
No. None.
Is Snoop Dogg from the East Coast or the West Coast?
West.
How did you recruit in the 90s if you knew nothing about 90s
rap?
I didn't.
I coached in the 80s.
Okay, all right, there it is.
When T-Rex was bumping.
Who was his producer?
Sean Combs. Who is Sean Combs?
Puffy.
There you go.
Yeah, got that. All right.
What's Jay-Z's real name?
He doesn't know. He has no idea.
Jay-Z's real name? Give me a hint.
It starts with an S. Same first name as Puff Daddy's first name.
Sean. God, I know it, too.
You don't. Just go to break.
You don't know it.
I do. I know it. I know it.
Rabinowitz. Rabinowitz. Sean Rabinowitz.
Sean Kingston.
Carter.
I don't know.
Carter.
Sean Carter. There you go. I knew that. Anyway, we got to take a time out. We'll come right back. Dan Wiener. You gotta come up in your...